boobies. You like boobies. Vicky likes boobies.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Now, are there any damn questions?
Have you any idea what the street value of this mountain is?
This is a nice fish, you know? Big fucking eyes, but a nice fucking fish.
Oh, topic too absurd, no statement too asinine. We are nerdities and we have a smorgasbord of stuff to talk about. It's been a full week. It's been like a year's worth of stuff in 1 week. There's plenty of crap to speak on. I am Mike. We also have...
Justin.
There is as well... Is he awake?
He's muted.
One eye was open.
He's still not talking.
Both eyes
he's still not talking, though.
Hey, big guy.
I don't know what he's doing.
He's staring into my soul.
Christmas should I say Sasquatch. His name for him? Kyle?
Waving?
No.
Are we muted? Or does he have us muted?
I don't know. Kyle?
Hi, we're waving.
Okay, you gonna say your name?
Kyle.
There we are.
Okay.
That's the way we do it. The bundled up babushka there.
Tim.
And also.
Tiny Tim.
Joe.
Hey, what was mine?
It wasn't really anything.
No,
I was just trying to get your attention.
Yeah,
what was my funny thing?
Christmas Sasquatch.
It wasn't much of a... Yeah, that's
Sasquatch. Do it again and give me a funny thing.
In the beginning?
But no one got a funny... No one else got a funny thing.
Not really.
Wrapped up babushka was funny.
Well, because he's wrapped up. Like, I mean, it's cold as fuck in this attic. I had to grab a blanket, too.
That's weird. It's usually hot up there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'm going to be myself. You try again.
He is full Kyle tonight.
And good old Mr. Shit in his ears. Daddy no talks.
Oh, me. That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, he's got to do sensitive voice now. He's
hello, listeners.
Yeah. NPR.
Hey.
Welcome to Nerdities.
Kyle and his shit balls.
Our show.
You're here in hour 15 of our Nerdities pledge drive.
I messaged the group OM Fuck, which you guys won't know what that is yet until Christmas week. Mm-hmm. But do I have a story about karma that is so deliciously good that I'm probably going
to... Involving a chameleon?
I'm probably going to get an erection talking about it.
Red, gold, and green?
No. No. So, you guys remember me telling you stories about a supervisor at the post office that I had named Kevin?
I don't remember specific names. I just remember you complaining about a lot of different shit. All
right. Well, this was the one who was, like, one of my main reasons for having to quit, right? So he, like, was very inconsiderate when my mom passed away. And anytime, like, I had to call out because of the kids being sick or, like, if I had asthma problems, like, he was just a piece of shit about it. Mind you, he calls out a lot for his own health issues and whatever. And, like, I kind of tried to not hold it against him. He is a vet, you know, younger than me. But, you know, whatever. I talk a lot of shit about people, and I tend to put on the mean act, but I'm a firm believer in karma, so I try to balance out anything crappy I say or do with good deeds, thus the whole asshole with the heart of gold thing. And boy, did the universe give me an early fucking Christmas present. A twofer, if you will. So I find out the other day that Kevin was home cooking, and he cut his finger off. Yeah. Had to get it sewn back on. And I was like, wow, that's fucked up. And then my buddy Joe was like, yeah. And when he came, he's like, he came back to work today. So when I saw him, I was like, what happened? And he's telling me the story, cutting. He's like, as soon as he told me what happened, I said, oh, you know, I know a guy who can probably give you a cooking lesson. And Kevin was like, fuck you. Then I go to find out today, right, that Kevin got remarried a month ago. And Joe calls me and he's like, you're not going to believe the story I just heard. Lay it on me, big guy. And he goes, Kevin got attacked by a deer on his wedding day.
What?
NewJersey.com. I was attacked by a crazed deer on my wedding day, NJ Groom says. Kevin, I'm going to leave his last name out of it, was walking his two dogs in Sussex County on the morning of his wedding last month when he says he was attacked and pinned for several minutes by a male deer. The deer...
This is not... This is not going where I think it is, right?
The deer, known as Melvin, and several other names by its fans and parts
by his
of
friends.
Andover Township, had lost its instinctive fear of people after being fed, petted, and even welcomed into neighborhood homes for nearly a year, according to police. Quote, he put his head down and charged me. He put me down, Van Arsdale, 37, told NJ Advanced Media.
I'm just going to say his first name.
Kevin said he lost a fingernail and had a pretty large scrape and bruising across the stomach from the deer's antlers during the November 9th attack. He escaped only after two Township Public Works employees happened by, scared off the deer by throwing rocks and bricks, he said. The unusual attack happened just an hour before Van Arsdale was scheduled to pose for photos for his wedding later that day at a local farm. The deer was shot and killed by Andover Township Police 2 weeks later, on Thanksgiving, one day after it attacked a second person in the township. The hashtag Justice for Melvin has been hitting social media, and I'd like to further that. All of our listeners and watchers of this, hashtag Justice for Melvin. He only sensed evil, and he tried to do the world a favor.
I feel like your concept of karma is a bit skewed.
Listen. Normally I understand it's not going to be an eye for an eye. Like, some crappy little things.
That's the whole point of it. That's really the whole...
Right, but like, I feel like it bundled it all up, like years of giving me constant anxiety attacks and you know, panic disorder and whatnot, and it formed a really tight, wet snowball, and just like perfect nut shot.
Dude, I can understand the karma from the perspective of him being a negative person and negativity coming back on him. Like, randomly. It's not like he mistreated people and then they weren't there when he needs him, which is the way I generally think karma tends to work.
They kind of weren't there when he needed them, though.
Well, he got the finger back on and someone got the raging cock deer out.
Yeah. Cause...
Is that part of it? Was it rutting? This is like rut right now, right?
Then I think so. I think, yeah.
I think it's okay.
Okay, it almost got him in the tail end.
Hey.
But like, the reveling in it, from your perspective, isn't where good karma...
I'm not reveling. I'm just saying...
Just reveling.
I didn't say... I'm just saying that those things happened because maybe he should be a bit nicer to people in his life.
But it's the smile on your face.
I'm always where the revelry genuinely stands. Happy to be doing this show.
Vishnu knows when you're lying, and the karma will come back on you.
It already does.
Truth in advertising. All right, since it's already fairly late in the game for us, I'd say we forego the rest of our personal stories, unless there's one that's really mind-blowing. Somebody's really got to get something off their chest.
Nope, got nothing.
That's wrong.
Nobody have any other tragedies for other people?
No.
Good. Good. Be more positive moving forward. Let's go into casting, then. One faux show from... What was that? Who was there?
I think that was
Joe.
Damn, Joe.
Way to be professional. We know for sure that Sean Gunn is going to be playing Maxwell Lord, the character that was played by Pedro Pascal in Wonder Woman 84, if you did take the time to see that odd movie.
I watched it.
Yeah, I seen it.
No. It wasn't the worst thing that ever happened, but it really was not. It didn't live up to the first one.
No.
That's for certain. His version of the character, though, from what I know, was pretty skewed. He made a lot of personal choices there, or the script made a lot of different choices from what the character is. He's more of a billionaire adventurer. That's kind of negative.
Yeah.
So to have Sean Gunn play him, it's definitely a gift from his brother. He's not playing the goofy characters anymore. This is a very serious bad guy.
Well, he's still playing Weasel.
Well, it's another gift from his brother. Yeah. He gets to play a weird voice.
Yeah. This is the makeup for the fact that he cast him as a mangy-looking Weasel-human hybrid.
Zachary Levi had some not nice things to say about
the casting. I was going to ask if that quote was real, because I kind of didn't believe it. It was real?
I didn't hear the quote.
I didn't even see it.
Zachary Levi was basically saying that if his brother ran the universe, he could pick whoever he wanted to play to.
Yes.
It kind of sounds like something Zachary Levi would say.
I don't know if it was in exactly that way, but that was the gist of what he said.
Why doesn't Zachary Levi go take acting lessons or something?
Wouldn't hurt.
You know, get better at acting and then worry about who gets what, even though I agree with him.
Like, if Sean Gunn had sucked at anything I'd ever seen him in, then yeah, that's abusive nepotism. But
fair point.
Dude's good. The dude took a nothing character in the first Guardians, and by the time we were done with him, he was significant. You actually cared about Kraglin. In part from the acting, but if he didn't do a good job in the first one, he would have just been guy in the background for the rest of the time.
Dude, he had me in tears in the second one with his, when the fireworks were going off during the whole the Ravagers celebration.
His crying scene?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he sold that. His miniature arc in the third one, he barely got any time to do it, but it was still an effective moment.
You're a bad dog.
The bad dog thing and the thing with the arrow. He didn't get much time, but he worked it. He worked it all. So, Zachary Levi, maybe you shouldn't have sucked so much. And that, maybe those two movies shouldn't have been as meh as they were.
Or you know what? Get your brother to make the movies better. Oh, you can't. Get out of our faces.
This is not James Gunn. So, while we're on the DC tip, not confirmed, but I mean, he kind of knows a guy. Kurt Russell said, yeah, I'd like to give Marlon Brando a run for his money. I would absolutely love to see him play Jor-El.
Oh, yeah. He would make a great Jor-El.
Nothing wrong with that choice. He's a bit older, but it's one of those characters. Shit, Brando played him when he was close to, in his 50s.
No, wouldn't it? Superman come out?
77?
70. Yeah, probably, 50s.
So I'm pretty sure he only died in his 70s, somewhere in the early 2000s, late 90s. Yeah, it's one of those characters that needs an age restriction. He's an alien dude. He can fuck a chick at any age. Casso had babies at 90. He didn't do much of the work.
You should get Liam Neeson to play Jor-El.
I'm not wholly against that, but if a kid doesn't come out with that Liam Neeson nose, I don't believe it. You can't have a Superman with clothes like that.
Make the mother more Irish looking. Or is he Irish?
He's Irish. He's
very Irish.
Hella Irish.
Who has button noses ethnicity wise?
Generally Asian people. Like Japanese people.
There you go. That's when you get an Asian Kara L, right? Is that his mom?
Kara Zor-El?
No, that's his cousin, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's Supergirl. That's Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Lara.
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 Yeah. We were close-ish. That's when you get Dean Cain out of the whole thing.
Boom. Make Dean Cain Jor-El, bro.
Shut up.
Nah.
Move on.
It's a circle. It's a circle.
Circling down the drain. Trailers. Unless there was another rumor? Rumor casting?
Well, we confirmed Nicholas Holt was Lex. Viola Davis and Awkwafina joined the cast of Kung Fu Panda 4. And
wow, they're taking a while for that.
Emma Myers was cast in the Minecraft movie. She was the roommate of Wednesday Adams in Wednesday.
I'm not watching an episode. They're making a Minecraft movie, huh?
Apparently.
I'm Minecraft lore.
Yeah. I'm hesitantly curious to see what the hell they would do with a Minecraft movie. Because I laughed when they said they were making a Lego movie, but they found a way to tell a compelling story. So, it could work.
And Mario is pretty good.
Yeah. This instance, I don't really...
Sonic was tight.
I have no interest. Sonic was fucking solid. Both of them were solid. They had stories. Minecraft is the ultimate, one of the ultimate sandboxes.
Yeah, I know.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure, so I don't know exactly what the hell they're thinking. But hey, I don't need to. I'm not writing the script. Because that's all casting. That's cast it away. Cast it in. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, starring Donald Glover and Maya Erskine? I know her last name is Erskine. And don't remember what her first name is. This looks pretty interesting. I had no idea this was coming, and it's coming to Prime.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and you're a Glover, right? You're a big Glover fan.
Yeah, I don't know how I didn't know about this.
Now, they're doing the exact thing that I always say needs to be done if you're going to try and reboot something. You take something integral to the story and, yeah, Maya Erskine. You take something completely integral to the story and do a 180 on it. Where they turn right in the movie, you turn left. And the plot here is they know that they're assassins. They come into this, it's a job, and throughout it they're supposed to stay professional, but then start catching feelings, and that's where the problems happen. And it's supposed to be a different mission each week, too, so obviously there's going to be an overarching story to the whole thing, but every week should be
there. Is it a show? I thought it was a movie.
It's a show, from what I'm seeing.
Producer Joe, can we get a fact check on that?
Mrs. Smith?
Donald Glover and Maya Erskine lead the series as the titular couple.
A series.
It is a series.
Open and shut case.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Premieres February 2nd, 2024.
But yeah, different hit each week, building up to something where the doo-doo gets deeper and deeper. I'm interested. It's coming to Prime.
Yeah, I can't wait to leave that in my queue for 3 years.
Yeah, I can't wait to look forward to watching that, huh?
Yeah.
What was the other trailer this week?
Self-Reliance. That was the Jake Johnson, Anna Kendrick joint.
Another in line with assassination concept, but this is the other way. This is Hard Target the comedy.
I thought Running Man the comedy.
Kind of, but it's out in the open. It's not post-apocalyptic. So the first thing that came to mind was Jean-Claude Van Damme and a bad mullet.
It was a good mullet.
Number one defender right there. Very curly mullet.
I almost gave that to you in the other show as your gift.
The mullet?
And that would have been great.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny's the kind of person that would definitely shave his ball hair into a mullet.
Like, I wouldn't be against it.
See.
How do you pull that off, though? Do you trim the front and leave what's on the sack long?
Yeah.
That's just doing a bad trim job.
Well, yeah, but then you could call it your ball sack mullet, though.
Yeah.
A smullet.
Smullet.
Not quite an episode name. Doesn't really hit that hard.
Fun moment. Okay.
So that's all the reviews, right? Was there another little...
There's a bunch of video game trailers that people can check out. There's a new Budokai Tenkaichi game that was announced. Vinny should be interested in that. A little Dragon Ball Z fighting game, Finn.
Oh, another one?
They announced a new... There you go. Excited?
I'm always excited for that. I'm more excited for the Blade game. I'm mad, though, that Ali has nothing to do with it, nor does Wesley Snipes.
It might be for
the... They're probably not going to have anything to do with it. They tend to be keeping the games and the movies separate from each other. Because anytime you do a movie tie-in... Well, the vast majority of movie tie-ins are dog shit.
Is this set in the same Spider-Man Wolverine universe, or...?
No, it's a different company.
Oh, okay.
This is not Insomniac.
Okay.
Because there was a game, Snipes was involved with this one, for Xbox 360, maybe, or regular Xbox, but it was dope. You, like, use the joystick to, like, swing your sword and shit like that. Such a good game.
And Mouse looked very cool.
That was a Bethesda game.
That was the Cuphead looking first person shooter.
Oh yeah, that it looked crisp.
Yeah,
flat 2D with 3D environments, and they still blended together very well.
Yeah.
Do we want to jump into all the things that came out, all the announcements? We're going to keep that separate.
Might as well just keep it separate.
Okay. So I have a quick review before. Are we all going to touch on our Doctor Who viewing, or is that just that's too much info?
I think we could, as long as Joe can keep it tight, I can sum up what I need to say about it, because I am currently writing an article about it, so I'm not going to throw everything I have out here on the show.
Good idea. It's a good idea. So on my birthday weekend, more than a month ago, I decided, you know what, I'm seeing these ads all over the place for these little handheld compilation.
I forgot this was coming.
Systems. And it's like, oh, you can get 20,000 games in a handheld that's got, like, all the different colors. The one I saw and purchased had the colors of the classic Game Boy. It had a terabyte – sorry, it had a 1 TB storage drive, which should have been the first clue, and 20,000 games on it.
What was that storage number again?
1 TB, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, should have let me know right out of the gate. Thing looked incredible. I sent pictures to the group. It was basically a PlayStation 2 controller layout, all the same buttons, and you could play anything up to PS2 games, and there's supposed to be a lot of them loaded on there. I mean, it's 20,000 games. 20,000 games, it's a lot of stuff, and it had Dreamcast games on there. I bought it because I just wanted to play Power Stone and Power Stone 2 again, hoping they were on there. If not,
the shit.
I could get a ROM for it. I could very easily play it. And it took a month to arrive. Now, that's what happens when you don't pay for shipping. But boy, am I happy I didn't pay for shipping, because I didn't get what I ordered.
Well,
no.
You didn't get what was advertised. You definitely got a handheld video game system.
I didn't get what I ordered at all. Because
what did you get?
I got this.
What the fuck is it? It's a Game Boy.
It's not even a Game Boy. It's not a Game Boy, even a little. It's got the vague appearance of a Game Boy, and it's got 400 games on it.
Mm-hmm.
Far cry from 20,000. I didn't bother doing the math, but it's barely a fraction. And they're not good. A huge chunk of them are in Chinese.
Oh, it's one of the, yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as I opened it up, and also it comes with a controller that you can connect to it.
So it's supposed to resemble a Nintendo controller.
Actually, that resembles a Famicom.
Yes.
It does, doesn't it? Same paint, same color scheme as a Famicom. Yes. You all know there's no better place to put the wire on a remote control than coming out the right side where your hands are going to sit.
Yes.
Is it USB at least, or?
It is micro USB.
Okay. Okay.
That plugs into the top of this.
That's where
I believe
the budget went.
Yeah. And I don't know what the point of it is, because I've seen other ones where you can plug a controller into it and then plug the system into
the control?
A TV.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And play it that way, but even that's redundant. This I don't, it's the same buttons. Like, what the fuck was the point of this? All I know is I got on their customer service instantly and had a back and forth with them. They tried to have me keep the unit and get half of my money back. To which I said, in much kinder words, go fuck yourself. Give me all my money or give me the product I ordered.
And yeah.
Yeah. I have my money back. And I still have this piece of shit. So you think Gene could do anything with this? Does anyone want this? I don't even want it in my sight.
Is it a... So how much did you spend on that?
It was $59.
Oh, man.
That's a new game.
No, that's a... Yeah. You could have got a Raspberry Pi, and I have a fuck ton of ROMs on my computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And an emulator system.
Very easily. I still want one of those handhelds. They all look really cool. The ones that are actually that type look great. Oh, and I was tracking it constantly. Here's another bit of bullshit. I figured it would be coming from China. You know, any one of these purchases you get off of Facebook, most likely it's something you're ordering from China. No, it says the order was shipping from Finland.
Huh.
I'm trying to raise my eyebrow. Trying.
Jyväskylä, Finland, shipped on the 11th, on the 6th of November, and then as of 12:03, it's sitting in Rochester, New York. Apparently, it's still in Rochester. But on the shipping information from Los Angeles, California. No idea what's going on. This whole thing just hurts my head. Somebody please take it. Someone get some use of this. You know what? If you email in... No, because I'm not spending any more money. I got my money back, and I got this piece of shit. I'm handing it off to someone. You know what? Do you mind if Zach breaks it?
Oh, I'm sure he'll fuck it up for you.
I know he will, but are you concerned he'll get hurt? Because like he can have all of it and just take it apart. I don't know, you think... And Marie would actually have fun with it. I'll give it to someone who could use it, and then maybe.
I mean, it's not a Switch, so she can't get mad at it.
This is an end around on that.
What are the games that are in English on it?
You know what? It's a very good question. And I will say, it does start up pretty quickly. Boom, right into it. You have to, every time, though, you have to choose from Chinese and English. And you don't hit the, what would be the X button, which is the B button. That does nothing. You have to hit where the start button is to choose a game.
I mean, that's classic.
Turtles 1 and Turtles 4. They totally skip through 2 and 3. One of those is in Chinese. It's got Super Mario. It's got Dr. Mario on it. It's got a couple of Contras. Jackal, whatever the fuck Jackal is. Snow Brothers.
Whoa, wait a second.
Chippendale 1.
Chippendale 1.
Yes.
Is that...
I will choose...
That's Chip, the Wish, you know, Chippendale.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers. In the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
You can play a two-player. You've got no love for yourself. So, yeah, if anyone wants to do something with this... Donkey Kong 1, 2, and 3, and Donkey Kong Jr. Excitebike. This thing's trash.
Does the Atari on there?
I would almost keep it if it was.
You can definitely have first dibs on this.
Yeah, I mean, if you want Zach to run the old smash and grabs on them.
Oh, have a blast, kid. This thing fucking pains me. So anyway, yeah, that was my experience with Happy Fun Time, Good Game For You Company.
Nice. We started Exorcist Believer today.
How far did you
believe?
Well, we had to stop because the kid woke up from his nap, and then we got sidetracked with like a bunch of other things, as per the usual. I can completely understand why most people who've reviewed it didn't like it. And it's not for lack of substance. The biggest problem is we're a little over an hour into the movie and things just started happening.
Oh, that's slow.
The new Exorcist.
Technically, it would be Exorcist 5?
However the fuck you want to look at it.
Would it be...
Oh, no. Oh, shit. I forgot about the prequels.
You can.
Yeah, 6.
Yeah.
Because there's two of them. Too many.
Yeah.
Just stopped at 3.
So, yeah.
Just stopped at 1, skipped over 2.
Yeah. 3 wasn't terrible.
3 was soft. 3 was really good. 3 was a return to form.
This is
directed by the original writer. This, though, it's an hour for anything to happen, anything even like remotely creepy.
It was a good 43 minutes before you're like, what the fuck?
That's a lot like the original, though. The original takes forever for stuff to start happening.
Absolutely.
Right, but there's little subtle things happening. It's like, okay, that's kind of weird. That's kind of like off-putting, you know, okay.
I mean, most of you aren't probably going to fucking watch it anyway. But, like, the girls go missing about 20 minutes in.
There's 20 minutes of lead-up before they even set them.
Well, there's a reason for that. Like, you get the story of the main guy, the girl and her mom, and what happens all before that. And it's important. But it does take, like,
interesting.
About 12, 13 fucking minutes of the movie is that. Then you pick up, you know, 13 years later. And you go through their day-to-day, and then this shit happens. And the girls disappear for, like, 3 days. And they play out 3 days in the movie. Like, it's not just like, oh, it's been 3 days and we still haven't seen our girls. No.
It's not just 3 days later. Isn't that a montage?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
It happens. And then, you know, and then the shit starts happening. So, I can understand everybody's issues. That being said, though, I think anybody that went into this film with higher than low expectations should feel disappointed, not just in the film, but in themselves for thinking that it was going to be anything remotely close to the original.
About what I heard.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Before we start touching on the doctor, right before we started the show, about an hour or so before, I was dicking around on Tubi and ran into a movie called The Fuzz.
I'm sorry?
Anybody heard about The Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz?
No, The Fuzz. It's basically, remember Happy Time Murders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that concept of people and puppets living together, but then it's Zootopia and Scarface. Because one of the puppets is a cop that no one gives respect for, Judy Hopps, and the other one is a puppet who's lived on the streets and is working his way up in the mafia, basically. And the mafioso, the lead guy, is the guy who played Vito on The Sopranos, the heavy guy who lost the weight, who happened to be gay. And he doesn't do incredible stuff in it, but everything they've done, and it's serious, too. But not serious. Like, the story itself is him trying to make his way up, Tony Montana style. And the cop is trying to do all the right things, like Judy did in Zootopia. But there's comedy mixed in there. I'm only about an hour into it, but I have laughed out loud like 4 times. Because it's not even the best jokes, but given the serious situation that is a crime drug drama, and anytime they throw puppet tropes in there, they do it beautifully.
So this is also a show.
And it's so silly. They did a show?
It says it's a series.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope there's more of it. Maybe it started with a movie.
I don't know.
Five episodes. All right.
It's a show.
All right. Yeah, five episodes.
One season. Well, yeah, one season. It came out in 2014. How the fuck did we not hear about this?
Exactly. It came out 4 years before Happy Time Murders. So they were definitely influenced by this in making it. Okay, that's interesting. They're 21 minutes long. So I was watching it, and it flows like a movie, but it was cut down in a way to be a show. They don't have an opening credit sequence or anything. So it's essentially, yeah, 24-60... it's a little over 100-minute long movie, like 110 minutes, which is pretty good for a comedy. So yeah, I'm really fucking enjoying it and looking forward to finishing it. I would say give it the first 5 or 10 minutes to see if you like the vibe. It doesn't take long. They get right into the feeling and the style of it in the very beginning. So at least give it a swing. And it's fucking Tubi. Tubi's got everything. Tubi's the best streamer ever.
Yo, Tubi's got my nostalgia on fucking lock.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many 80s, 90s cartoons on there.
They have them all.
Pretty much. I told you Galaxy High's on there.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking Alf cartoon's on there.
What's the one I put on my list that I haven't watched yet? Oh yeah, there's a movie, Rocket Gibraltar, that my dad loved.
Remember
that one? Macaulay Culkin's first film, and I believe it was Burt Lancaster's last. It's emotional. Like, they have fucking everything on Tubi. Tubi's the best. Anyway, from that streamer to another one. Three of the five of us are kind of caught up on Doctor Who. We will not belabor this, because some people in the group don't give two shits, but it deserves some time to talk about.
Yes.
Let's go special by special. First one, which was the Star Beast?
The Star Beast.
Star Beast.
Okay. I saw the swerve with the meeps coming.
Absolutely. It was too adorable not to be evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Miriam Margulies playing the voice just going, meep, meep. You knew it was going to be bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was too every cliche of a cutesy character. Mm-hmm. And then all the other stuff with the attacking bug creatures not being vicious,
yes,
just kind of being there and advancing. You're like, wait, there's something missing from this kind of narrative.
Yeah.
Where's the actual badness here?
The doctor's courtroom, but everything flipped on its side was brilliant.
That whole fucking scene made me fall in love with the fucking doctor all over again.
With classic Tennant. Mm-hmm.
So it was so good.
Yeah.
And I'm not shitting on any of the other doctors, so let's get that right out the fucking gate.
No, no. As someone, I'm 100% caught up.
I've started to go back and watch some of Jodie Whittaker's stuff. Only because I needed prep for the article.
She was good. Just the writing wasn't.
Yeah, she was. I like what she did.
Wait till they get to the Flux, because they talk about the Flux in the specials, some of the events.
That's that was basically a good her Time War moment. That's her big challenge.
Yes.
If they keep bringing it up, then yeah, it's the thing that defined her arc.
Yes.
I didn't like the fact that the big Doomsday device thingy, once it was turned off for no reason, just fixed everything. It didn't, like, they did something so cataclysmic with it as it's about to do what it's intended to do. They're like, oh shit, London's never going to be the same. And then they turn it off, and it doesn't just turn off and leave the cataclysm everywhere. It fucking reverses everything. That's the kind of shit in Doctor Who where I'm like, oh, really, guys? You couldn't commit.
But
very Who, though.
Very Who.
You know, you get the end of time vibes when the doctor was, you know, forced to have Donna remember. You got that vibe, like, why you keep, you know, the Tenet breakdown.
The two of them split, and the only solution is her remembering everything, her untapping and giving up her life for her daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that character was interesting. Like, it doesn't take long in meeting that character to realize there's something different about her. And then she's a trans character, and you're like, Oh, you could definitely. Most Who fans wouldn't care. They'd embrace it, but you could definitely. You can. You know, there was articles written there. About yeah. the wokeness
I'm glad
of you, Doctor Who.
I'm glad you brought that up. So I was in a meeting the other day, which is how I landed the article, or the, I guess, one of the spots to write the article, right? And someone in the meeting's like, I've always been a fan of Doctor Who, but even I'm getting tired of the woke agenda being spread into stuff like this, too. And I stopped. I was like, how long have you been watching Doctor Who, then?
True. Forever.
Like, this is... The show's always been like this.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Jack mm-hmm. Harkness was like a fucking pansexual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, big time.
It's
acceptance of people has always been a huge part of the show.
It's always, yes, it's always
since
been.
The beginning.
Yeah. It's got that Star Trek thing of if you're not seeing the underlying message here, you're the problem.
Yeah. It. I thought they handled it perfectly. Sylvia's talk with Donna. In the kitchen about Rose.
Yeah.
Was
they did
brilliant.
Some smart stuff where yes. parents dealing with a kid who's transitioning and grandparents, multi-generational yes. confusion. Like there's no malice behind it, but you knew this person as a boy for X amount of years mm-hmm. and then they transition. You don't want to be an asshole to them, but you'll always think of them in a certain way.
Right.
No matter how accepting you are.
Yeah.
Really strong writing. It was a yes. really great moment. The thing I was kind of concerned with the Rose character was that it was just putting someone in there. Like, I thought it was, I almost had that, oh, this is just woke to be woke moment. But I was like, no, it's Doctor Who. Either she's going to be a really interesting character and the fact that she's trans is not going to have anything to do with it. Or they're going to use the transness and they use the fuck out of the transness as a narrative hook.
Mm-hmm.
As a tool to save the day.
Yes.
It's pretty great. The second one was classic fucking Who.
So much.
Yes.
So much.
So Monster
it could have been
week.
Done as a... Yeah, definitely Monster of the Week. Such a small cast list. Literally a two-person cast list.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been done as a stage play if you had the longest fucking stage in human history.
I mean, you three if you count the robot from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was essentially the Depressobot 5000.
Yeah.
But it didn't have a voice. And the only other voice between, other than those two, okay, there was the moment in the beginning with Newton.
Yeah. So, yes.
Mavity. Mavity was a great running gag.
Yeah.
Especially when they pull it back later.
Yes. Probably.
What? Mavity. Perfect all around Doctor Who silliness. Mm-hmm. They knew they needed one in the middle that was serious, put them in peril. But you've seen that kind of peril before. Like, oh no, the TARDIS is gone. Oh no, we have to fix this. I would like it if they just turned around for a second. Like, we've been in something like this before. You just gotta have faith. We have to have faith in ourselves that we'll think. That would have been great if they're like, we have to have faith in ourselves that we could think our way through this. And then the problem becomes at the end, thinking.
Yes.
The last thing you want to do in this situation.
Yeah.
When fake Donna was grilling the doctor, and that's where they actually pulled the one time where they actually pulled something from the Chibnall error that they talk about. And there's a part of the flux. If you haven't watched it, it hits a lot harder after you watch that episode of what she's talking about. But the acting,
that last bit, yeah.
Yeah, between the two of them, is the chemistry is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I knew, you obviously knew when he picked the one Donna and he was wrong, that it would rectify, but you weren't sure how he, it was another one of those great, oh, how are they going to get out of this one moments? Oh, there it is. Quick switcheroo. Beauty. And the final one, the giggle. I don't know if NPH was the best Who villain ever, but he was absolutely magnetic.
Yes.
And he was classic NPH. He was the triple threat master. Actually, quadruple, because they needed someone who could do card tricks. And he could shuffle a deck.
Yeah.
And his dance.
His time in the magic, yeah. His time in the magic castle paid off in this one.
Mm-hmm.
His dance moment, yeah, was actually unnerving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seeing him gloating around the place, basically, able to kill people at will, but it was actually self-controlled. Unless he was being fired, actually, even unless they got too close, he didn't take them out. But it was just the raw power he was exhibiting was unnerving. I like the supporting characters, the one chick, I don't remember her name, but she's in the wheelchair. What they did with her from the very first episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Her being a badass.
She was a fun addition.
Yeah. Mel.
And pulling, yeah, Mel pulling back another character. I learned a little bit more about her recently after watching that episode. They did, I think Nerdist did a what you need to know type of thing. But let's just skip right to the bigs. I don't want to jump over one of the most intense sequences in Doctor Who in a while, the puppet theater.
Yeah.
Dude.
That was intense.
Puppet theater was fucked up. Doctor and Donna have to sit down and watch Neil Patrick Harris run through a list of all the companions that he has walked toward their death, and using the metaphor of a puppet theater where he's just controlling their lives until they're dead, and him trying to validate it with, well, no, they died, but they lived a full life. Oh, well, that makes it okay.
Yeah,
it was pretty cruel.
Yeah.
But the big dealy, the thing that changes everything,
yes,
was the not regeneration, but bi-generation.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time Donna's around, it's a weird regeneration.
Yeah. This is where, like, at first, I was kind of like, why the fuck are we doing here? But then I thought back to the first of the specials. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. We've already established that there's like a gajillion fucking doctors all at one time.
Yes. Russell T. Davies has confirmed of a doctor multiverse.
You're telling stories that don't have much limitation to begin with. Why limit yourself that they can't be two of them floating around at the same time?
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's why you see doctors that regenerated, but then you see them older because it's a different universe doctor where he never regenerated.
Or did the same thing like you did with Tennant where he regenerated to a previous phase.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those, it's a world with enough freedom that you could do this stuff. And yet even I had that moment where I'm like, really? They're going to be operating around the same? Oh, really? They each get their own TARDIS?
This breaks
the rules that were thinly established to begin with.
That borderline pissed me off.
The two TARDISes?
The way they came out, too.
The way, like, using the mallet. It happened.
He still, that was a prize. Judy Gatwa instantly got
his stuff. I'm looking for him.
Like his energy, but let's not steamroll the mallet.
Yeah, it's almost jumping the shark, but it switched something on in my mind for Doctor Who. It's a live action cartoon.
Yeah, that might have been a fucking bridge too far.
Well, we do know there will be spin-offs. Russell T. Davies has said there will be more than one Doctor Who show.
Clearly, Tennant's character goes on. We're going to see
more. The why isn't the question. It's the how, and can you validate that how?
Right.
It's a big ask.
That's the other thing, too. Like, why did he go back to Tennant's face?
Well, Donna kind of lays that out.
Kind of.
Yes.
Kind of.
For them to be together.
But it's still like not a clear enough answer, right?
This is not one of those worlds where you get that kind of
answer. No, but I'm saying if they're going to spin off, maybe we can extend that story. Maybe that's why it wasn't completely answered.
There is a theory, too, about when Tennant regenerates, he becomes the curator.
Well, that's the path that version takes. Yes. That's the road he goes down on.
He becomes a curator.
It definitely just leaves a bunch of question marks that could be filled in or never filled in later, or just openings. But it is that moment of, oh, well, what am I supposed to do with myself? Well, you know what? We just went through this weird thing. let me take a mallet out, smack the side of the TARDIS, and another one gets born out of the side of it. Like, it's weird. It's extra strength fucking weird.
It bi-generated.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm on that fence, too. I definitely see what Justin's saying there. I'm happy with it, though. It was a fun time.
Again, yes. Not disappointed. Not in the least bit.
Very much looking forward to Christmas. And seeing Shooty's first full adventure.
With goblins. On a goblin sky ship. Yeah. That looks like a lot of... That was the kind of the trailer this week that we forgot to touch on, but it just dropped. Where they're trying to eat a baby. Very on point for goblins.
Yeah. Just loved it.
No. Yeah. So three of us have seen what his Sonic looks like.
Right? Yes.
It's interesting looking, but it's so different from the others. Have you seen it?
It is odd.
It's a beautiful design. Oh, yes. It's got the proverb.
Very ergonomic.
Oh, yeah.
Ergonomic.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a remote control that comes in a very expensive TV.
Yeah. The Rwandan proverb that's written in Gallifreyan is a nice...
That's a very Marvel-esque touch.
Yes.
You tell Disney's involved now. It is weird. Everybody does their own thing. Hell, Capaldi didn't even have a screwdriver for a while. He had glasses. So it's the thing doesn't need to take a specific form, but it's just so odd to call it a screwdriver. I feel like they're going to call it the Sonic Remote or something.
They got to say visual. Something about it.
Yeah. Someone's going to make a comment.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's coming around Christmas. I was happy with it. Yeah. It was a nice... I was debating the other day, do I go down this road? Started the first one and plowed through all three. So definitely a trip worth taking again. Yeah. Okay.
Bravo.
Let's go... Unless anyone else has reviews, but I doubt you do. Let's go balls deep into the Game Awards. And not even the awards, because who the fuck cares about who won what? Announcements, announcements, announcements. Do you have the announcements list, Justin?
No, I actually had the winners of the awards. No, I do have...
That's what you're concerned
with. Well, yeah, it's an award show. But
award shows suck. Most of the time, they don't have announcements in an award show, so...
Hey, shh. Put a fucking lid on that. We have an announcement at the end of this fucking show to make.
We do that.
Yeah, we do. I know that Sega announced that they're currently in development of a new Jet Grind Radio, Crazy Taxi, Shinobi, and it looks fucking good.
This is the announcement that got me the hardest. Sega is doing something really smart by leveraging all their old licenses, all their old IPs, and turning them into new stuff. Golden Axe. If we get an Altered Beast, they haven't tried Altered Beast in like 20 years.
I know.
Golden Axe looks great.
What systems would it be coming out on?
Probably all
of them. Yeah. They're broad spectrum now. Everybody got Sonic Frontiers. Everyone got Sonic Adventures or Sonic Course. I don't remember. There's a few Sonics out there, and everybody's got them. But yeah, I'm Crazy Taxi. I haven't played a Crazy Taxi in so long, and I loved those fucking games.
Me too.
I couldn't remember if it was you and I having a conversation, or it was me and someone else not too long ago about Crazy Taxi.
Probably me. Dumb games. But such a great play loop.
It's so fun.
And since they're bringing back Crazy Taxi, also Simpsons Hit and Run deserves a fucking remake.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Talking about that for years.
I thought that was going to happen.
So did I.
It's probably another licensing rights issue horse shit.
Well, now that Disney owns it, probably.
Yeah. The what's his name there? Kojima's new game.
Oh, is it new, though?
What's the rumpus?
So we're talking about the OD, which is the multi-platform experience with him and Jordan Peele, right?
Yeah.
Well,
start up. Mm-hmm.
Nerds being nerds on the internet took freeze frames of the headshots of the...
Which is all it is,
the
really.
Characters.
Yeah.
and doing what they do zoomed in, and on the inside of the mouth of the characters are letters. And they spell out, let me get this right.
Don't tell me it's a playable teaser. No, no, fans would lose their mind if it was the actual PT finally coming back.
No. Hang on.
That game was fucked up.
I never did play that. I've seen enough videos online about it, but...
Yeah, I've messed with you. It's
disturbing.
Okay. Fans noticed letters hidden in actor Udo Kier's mouth that spell the word Otani, a city located in Shizuoka Prefecture that loosely translate to Silent Hill in English.
So yes, this is basically the PT game that he was supposed to be making with Del Toro, except they're swapping out Del Toro for Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
So it's going to be even more fucked up.
There's no one better to fuck around with Silent Hill than Jordan Peele.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all about this. It's good stuff.
Those two, and you know Del Toro's getting in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. At least a character, hopefully on the writing end. Boy, would I love to see him interacting with Peele. That Jurassic Park Survival announcement.
That looks fun.
I feel like I've watched this game, though.
Camp Jurassic, the game?
Yeah, it hits every moment from the movies, at least from the original movie, but you're supposed to be replaying them from a different character's perspective in a way, kind of. I don't know if this is going to be as good as they hope it is. It's got a very Aliens... Oh, what the hell was the name of that one? Isolation. Feel to it. Not actually be fighting, you'd be running for your life the whole time. Which can work, but it's been done. Let's see, are there any other really interesting announcements? So there were a ton of announcements.
You have Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's got a pretty big following. Warhammer 40,000, Space Marine 2. I'm just trying to hit, like, they're doing a Streets of Rage remake. What?
Was that a Sega one too? Was that part of the Sega announcement?
Yeah. That was Sega.
Sega being smart.
Anything Final Fantasy 16?
Well, that's already out, right? There's
16, early 2024.
Okay. I could have swore they already put that one out. Okay, what do I know? The last one I played was 10. Can't say that. I played a little bit of Remake. Very little.
Yeah. No. Give me some cool games. Microsoft is going to put out a lot of them.
No, we're not going exclusive. What are you guys talking about? We're not going exclusive.
No, not at all.
What do I care? Sony's still got way better exclusives.
I just wait for it to come out on PC.
So yeah, other than that, I didn't really have any news. Justin, let's forego any food news and just finish this.
I have news.
Joe, I have a plethora of news.
You have a plethora? Okay.
But go ahead.
Get your story. Right. A fan favorite character is returning to the Ghostbusters movie universe.
Yeah, that standee did show.
Yes, Slimer's coming back.
Slimer is coming back.
Because money.
Well, the containment unit could have bursted and Slimer came out.
Bursted it?
Or
never went back in the containment unit.
Or if they go with real Ghostbusters and make that all canon, and then
In the game he was out.
Yes, that's true.
Is Ecto Cooler come back? Justin, is that food news?
It's not yet.
Got it.
Essentially.
But I can tell you that on an upcoming episode of Nerd ETs, we will be making Ecto Cooler.
Nice.
Kevin Smith lost a bet to Jay Muse, so now he's writing a new Jay and Silent Bob movie.
That's all it takes, huh? Did they dialogue the bet? Did they tell us what the bet was?
It does not go into specifics as to what the bet was, but Kev was being interviewed the other day, and he's like, yeah, I'm currently writing another Jay and Bob movie because I lost a bet to Jay.
And the last one was really depressing, so at least, give me something happy.
Jay and Bob.
Yeah, last Clerks was depressing.
The last time we saw Jay and Silent Bob, it was depressing.
Yeah, the last Jay and Bob movie, though, was fun.
Yes, super. I liked
E3 is officially dead.
Yeah.
Completely?
Yes, it was announced today. Dunsky's out. Peace.
Very weird. I mean, there's enough other outlets to see all this stuff.
I mean, it's because most of the big three started doing their own things.
It seemed like it was a good place for computers and other types of technology to display, but I guess they've gotten themselves too big on consoles. But once they pulled out
CES,
there's a lot for computer stuff now. There's a lot of tech shows.
The Bradley Coopers is a part owner of a new cheesesteak food truck in Philadelphia, and he was working in it the other day.
I want a cheesesteak.
So we're going right into food news?
No, I was just throwing it out there because they were donating, I think, a majority of their profits to a local charity.
I have a certain kind of a rumor, news type scenario.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Sure.
No.
Mike's not ready. Joe?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I still got news.
Demolition Man 2
is not happening.
Works.
Moving on.
I don't believe that one.
It's not happening.
Yesterday.
I heard about that too. I don't believe it.
Spartan? John Spartan.
You son of a bitch.
All right. Marvel's Echo is getting solid reviews, and they say that it is very violent. For anybody that was worried that they were going to Disney-fy the Daredevil Netflix universe, don't worry.
I think a lot of it had to do with a little thing called trial and error.
Yeah, that happens. Boy and the Heron took first place in the box office this weekend with 10 million plus opening weekend U.S. box office, which is kind of, that's saying something if that was number one. That's tough.
It's not a good time for films.
No, not at all.
The live-action My Hero Academia movie is moving forward at Netflix with the writer of Obi-Wan being attached to it.
Oh.
It excites me. No one else, and James was excited.
Well, I guess plot holes and...
Stop it. Twisted Metal...
Good writing.
Twisted Metal got picked up for a second season, which is cool. It's a pretty solid show.
I gotta watch that.
I love me some Anthony Mackie. Disney is deciding to put three of its Pixar movies that it made debut on Disney Plus into theaters for limited runs. So Turning Red, Soul, and what the fuck else is the other one I'm thinking of, Joe?
Fuck.
Onward, right? Onward got a limited run.
No, that was
Onward was in theaters. That was the last movie we saw before COVID.
Oh God.
What have their last few been that weren't Toy Story?
Oh, Luca.
It definitely wasn't
Luca. That's it, Luca.
Luca. Okay, Luca.
So,
it's odd.
I don't know what that's going to afford them. I don't know how much people are like, I want to go see Turning Red now that it's 2 years old in the theater. But hey, whatevs.
Yeah, I could just put this on in my house, because if I'm interested enough to see it, I already own Disney Plus, so
I don't
follow this logic.
Godzilla Minus Zero broke a whole bunch of box office records and got put in like 2,500 more theaters.
I hear it was phenomenal.
That's what I hear.
I can guess what happened without seeing it.
No one wants something your negativity right now, please.
Tokyo gets destroyed. I'm willing to bet buildings get destroyed.
Someone runs up the street, they turn around, they go,
Godzilla! What I hear with it, it's cool because it takes place right after Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Godzilla breaks some buildings.
So yeah, someone's standing in the road and they look up really slowly and the camera pans up and it takes a long time to pan up. But you don't even see it because the light's kind of, you know, it's refracting around and you're like, oh, what is that?
The light and the curve.
Bad ass.
For scale.
There's a Black Panther series coming to Disney Plus called Eyes of Wakanda.
Yes. Yes.
It will debut in 2024.
Was this animated? Because they were talking about a live action series.
It is an animated series.
Okay. Something tells me they took those concepts from the Okoye series. I'm pretty sure she was getting hers. Probably. I'm guessing they took those concepts and converted them into an animated series.
I mean, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she does the voice lead.
Sounds.
Yeah.
On Monday, Marvel Studios Animation announced both X-Men 97 and Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man will be released in 2024, alongside the previously unannounced Eyes of Wakanda.
It's a trifecta of awesome.
Yeah.
I was looking to see if they give an exact date, but they do not.
Yeah, the article I read was pretty...
yeah.
Pretty up in the air.
And it's time for food news! Here we go! McDonald's really wants people to start coming back, so they're changing everything. They're changing their buns, they're changing the meat that they use for their burgers... And they're bringing back the snack wrap. If that makes people want to go back there, that's fine. I doubt it, but hey, someone's loving it.
Did you hear the concept they're doing called Cosmics?
Yes. Oh, I've seen the menu. I didn't even want to talk about it.
There's competition there to Starbucks.
Yeah. 10 locations planned so far to test this thing out. 9 of them in Texas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really stacking the bet on this one.
Food news, here we go. Bomb Pop Extremes are dropping this summer. Super Sour Strawberry and Fire Cherry.
I'll get down on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love your Bomb Pop.
Fruit Loops Sweethearts are coming for Valentine's Day. They do look like Conversation Hearts.
Tastes like Fruit Loops.
But tastes like Fruit Loops. Goldfish Crisps arrive January 2024. A light and airy goldfish cracker, which is weird because I don't think goldfish crackers themselves are very dense.
not really. The normal ones kind of have a hollowness to them. Some are different, like the pretzel ones are thick.
Yeah.
They're really flat.
But they'll be available in cheddar, sour cream and onion, and salt and vinegar. Dove Chocolate, just in time for Valentine's Day, is dropping a few new flavors. A dark chocolate and strawberry swirl, milk chocolate cherry cordial, and a milk chocolate tiramisu flavored caramel. Not to mention Twix cookies and cream ice cream bars will be hitting freezers nationwide soon. We know that M&M's Easter flavor this year is going to be called Easter Sunday, Sundae. It's a
creative
white and dark chocolate flavored M&M. Starburst gummies are about to get the sour treatment and the all pink additions added to the lineup.
Why the fuck couldn't they make an all cherry edition? Why are people loving the strawberries so much?
Well, they have the flavor reds. Or favorites.
It's not all cherry.
No, it's not. Do you ever think to yourself, hey, I want to drink Skittles, but not in vodka like your young sister tells you to, and it turns into, like, fuel for a fire? But you're like, I wish they made non-carbonated Skittles beverages. No, you didn't?
Never once. Nope.
Well, guess what? It's happening. In Wildberry Original Tropical and Sour.
Okay. That's pretty much all the Skittles, so...
Muddy Bites.
Base is covered.
Muddy Bites waffle cone snacks, the broken ends of the chocolate-filled waffle cones that they've realized they could sell as a snack by themselves, coming out in the Girl Scouts Thin Mint flavor.
Okay.
Those I want to try. I mean, they weren't that great. You got some, and even frozen, it's missing something. Just the bottom is okay, but it's only great after you've had
ice cream.
The actual ice cream.
Yeah. True Moo, the flavored milk company, is dropping a mint vanilla flavored milk in January.
Okay.
So if you like Shamrock shakes, but, you know, the machine's always broken at fucking McDonald's, now you can just get a fucking half gallon of the melted form already. Frosted Flakes of chocolate milkshake flavor coming to a grocery store near you. And Ocean Spray is launching a line of cocktail mixer drinks. Just add the booze. The flavors are Cosmo, Rum Punch, and Strawberry Margarita. And the last piece of food news I have here is, did you ever think they were going to release a peach-flavored Oreo?
Nope.
Well, they are.
Gross.
At this point, yeah, I figured everything would get an Oreo flavor. Yeah.
Well, did you think when they released it, it would have at least been the golden Oreo cookie on the outside? Because that...
It's regular Oreo? Yeah,
it is regular Oreo.
Maybe nope. A poor decision.
Nope.
I don't usually go up against the Oreo flavors, but this is a little weird. That is your food news. Douches and nerds.
I'm starting to realize the fact that there's a weekly food news segment, and we're hearing the same company names over, like the same food names over and over again. How, I don't know if it's desperate. Maybe creative?
Do these food places want to sponsor us?
Yeah.
Go down that road, Joe.
Kraft and General Mills want to get behind our podcast.
That'd be... Hey, someone's out there. Nerdities@gmail.com. I do have a nerd.
I've
got a douche.
I have a douche and two nerds. I'm trying to...
I'll go with my douche first. It's Hugh Grant. Now, I do respect the fact that he's in his I don't give a fuck phase now, as far as work goes. But, like, if you've done a movie and you weren't really happy with the results, just kind of keep it to yourself. He was really pissy about being an Oompa Loompa.
Why did he sign on to do it then?
Exactly. Funny. Frankly, what I did with my body was terrible, and it's all been replaced by an animator. According to the publication, Hugh joked that the reason he took on the role came down to his five children. I slightly hate making films, but I have lots of children and need money. When asked if it was all worth it upon viewing the final product, he said, not really.
Fuck you, dude.
No passion. It's like when right after he got done getting caught fucking that prostitute, he realized, well, I could still work. Well, there's almost nothing I could do. As long as I don't kill somebody, I think I'm in the clear.
It's hilarious.
I can say whatever I want.
listening to actors talk about making millions of dollars for these movies. Like, I saw one actor complaining they only made $1.25 million an episode. Oh. Sorry.
See, now I can't get behind your reasoning if you defend professional athletes.
Well, defend them how?
Because I have a problem with professional athletes getting paid as much money as they do.
Oh, like the Asian guy on
Shohei Ohtani?
Honestly, honestly, too much. Any of them.
$700 million.
Well, when it comes to fighters, a lot of it has to come with views. Like, who's tuning in? When it comes to baseball, no one fucking watches baseball anymore.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I do.
Like, if we're going to nitpick actors, which is fine, I think it's got to be across the board. So, like, I also view professional athletes as overpaid.
They're definitely overpaid, but their shelf life is super short. They don't really have much to fall back on for the most part. And actors and actresses, they can act in other things. And like, just to complain, oh, I'm only getting paid. You're not risking your body.
Dude, if you...
For a sitcom TV show.
A sitcom's one thing. But if you're talking like a drama, the fucking shooting schedule on shit like that is grueling.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's grueling, but I guess this isn't an apples to apples argument, but they're all the same. They're so overpaid.
I agree. Yes, both can do things to their bodies that'll absolutely harm them in the long run, right? That kind of lack of sleep schedule and all that other shit, devastating for an actor.
Yeah.
Can be. Same thing with professional athlete. Yes, they're playing a game. Yes, there's conditioning for it. Yes, they can hurt themselves to beyond repair, yada, yada, yada. Still doesn't warrant a $700 million fucking paycheck to play baseball.
10 years. But he deferred.
I don't care. Don't give me any
of it.
Still,
he's going to get paid until 2038 or something like that.
Let's be real for a second, too. He stayed in L.A., dude.
He did.
He's only making like 55% of that.
No, he was smart. That's why he deferred it.
Yeah.
He was smart about that.
I don't know what you mean by that, but LA and Cali, they're making money.
He's only getting paid
$2 million
a season.
$2 million a season.
And then they have to pay him out the remainder of those years.
Yeah.
Post. He's in a different tax bracket, so he's taking more of it. You know.
It's very smart on his part.
Jeez,
especially
Go ahead, Mike.
To say, especially for a baseball player, if you're a football player making millions of dollars, all right, you're getting battered. Right. Fucking baseball. You could play baseball and not break a sweat.
Well, all right. So he is a freak of nature because he is a pitcher. And a phenomenal pitcher and a phenomenal hitter at the same time. But he will not be pitching next year. And we're not, you know, this is not a sports talk, but will he pitch again? We don't know.
Right. Also, football, they can cut your ass tomorrow if you're injured and like you're not seeing all the money you were just signed on for because you're hurt. Baseball, this motherfucker could go down tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be collecting checks.
Yep. Baseball, it's all guaranteed. Football, it's not.
Anyway. Fuck that shit. My douche of the week is the Webby Awards.
Oh, yeah. This thing.
I hope Kyle can hear me, because I really want to see his face. So the Webby Awards is for like podcasting and interweb shows and YouTube stuff. And I tagged Joe in the post a few weeks ago, and I didn't hear anything back from him. I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll start filling everything out. So I go to submit our podcast. I throw the RSS feed on there, and I pick the categories that are, I guess best represent us. So I put us in for best of television and film, and Best Indie Podcast. Because we are not funded in any way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, cool. And it's like edit and review. And I was like, all right, cool. And I send that in. And then it comes up to the review your submission details below. And podcast, Nerdities, it's got our Facebook page, our Twitter and all that. And then it says subtotal, $710.
What?
Oh, yeah. Because apparently, you have to pay in order to be into the awards and more than likely lose them. So just for submission for television and film, it's $495. For indie, very sweet of them to cut it, to $215.
Very nice of them.
So I commented on the post that I saw from the Webby Awards, and I said, in a roundabout way, thanks but no thanks. We don't make money as it is. So fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
I can understand taking some kind of admission for it, but
$50,
right?
At max.
Yeah,
because it's get your name out there. All right, like, what's their overhead really?
Yeah, $50.
Let's start our own awards thing. We'll charge $700.
Hang on to that. The nerds of the week. Nintendo for their re-release of the Arkham trilogy. Because built into the Arkham trilogy is a very nice dedication and bit of for Kevin Conroy.
Oh, that's great.
So
nice. Did you see they added Pattinson's Batsuit to the collection too?
And then my other nerd of the week is one Paul Levesque, Triple H, running WWE now that Vince is like gone. And it was announced that for the first time ever in the history of the company, WWE talent will have a full week off ahead of Christmas, as there's no event scheduled between December 19th and December 25th.
Well, for management, don't get used to it.
Because usually there's like a Christmas Eve show or like a night after Christmas show. And he's given them the week, and it's a positive thing.
It'd be very nice as a former worker, a former wrestler. He understands the damage it could do to someone's life, and reevaluates the working schedule for these guys. Maybe once the old man's gone, actually allows them to unionize. Does he do something decent for his coworkers? More decent shit, because it's a fucked up industry. My nerd of the week, or nerds, a group called Covered Geekly, a nerd news page. I saw this on Facebook. Them and anyone who follows suit who will be no longer sharing spoiler images from any movie or show. This comes in the wake of Ryan Reynolds being like, come on, guys, seriously. Telephoto lenses are ruining it for everybody. Stop sharing these pictures. These are moments we want people to see in the theater. So a lot of companies are saying, yeah, you know what? That's right. We don't need clicks that badly. They're going to ruin the entire fucking movie. So yeah, to Covered Geekly and everyone else who decides, let's save it for the moment.
My nerd actually was Ryan Reynolds for his photos from Deadpool 3 containing Vin Diesel, the Predator,
with Mickey in the background.
Yes, and Mickey Mouse in the background. Yes, bravo, Ryan Reynolds. Bravo.
Having fun with it. That's the other thing I love about him. He'll make a point, but at the same time, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if Kyle's awake, this is where he usually is. I'm not sure he is.
No, I just see a fan in a...
Let's see the ceiling.
A hole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a hole. I think he had water damage.
Oh, yeah.
So if you like what you hear, nerdies.com is your Facebook, Nerdies on your socials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Jeff. Google Nerdies.
Yeah. Then nerdities.myspreadshop.com. Buy all the Nerdities branded objects that you could buy. Sinful Creations by Justin.com. CINNFUL Creations by Justin.com. Sweet treats for your mouth holes. Vegan, gluten free. Yada, yada, yada. Buy it. Give me money. It's nice.
Speaking of giving money, YouTube.com/Nerdities. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell to get notified when new content is coming, because a buttload of new content is coming, including the upcoming Nerdities holiday special on December 19th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on YouTube. Interact with us, Q&A, chat. It'll be fun. It's going to be a good time. We have the Christmas special. We have the Joe Trilogy finale coming up. We have a feature film coming up. Cooking show. Other, more shows. Shows upon shows upon shows upon movies upon shows upon shorts. Follow us on YouTube. You'll love it.
I have two announcements to make for those, for some of the upcoming stuff. Our next two live shows after the Christmas one, January 16th, Tuesday, on YouTube. Come celebrate my 40th birthday. Because that is the actual day of my birth. The second announcement is, we plan on bringing back the Nerdies Awards this year.
Oh, boy.
So that will be a live show as well, where your boys will be dressed all nicely, presenting awards to people that don't even know about our podcast.
They could know about our podcast if they write to us at nerdies@gmail.com and give us some kind of money for a budget, because we'll croon, we'll spoon, we'll talk about their business and or product. And also, we haven't mentioned this. Happy Hanukkah, my Hebrews, Shebrews, and neighbors. Yeah,
that's right. Happy Chanukas.
Happy old fantasy, not new age fantasy.
Happy candle day.
Yeah, what candle day is it right now?
It is the sixth day of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Oh, down the tail end.
Yeah, Joe, did you get anything good so far?
No, Hanukkah Harry didn't bring me anything. Next year, Hanukkah is on Christmas. Yes, 2024, first night of Hanukkah is actually December 25th.
Wow.
When the war actually starts.
Yeah, get ready.
Okay, the opinions of the Nerdies crew are idiotic and poorly thought out, but don't worry, next week's to be far more insulting. Night-night, Kyle.
Good night.
Bye.
Why should I care?
Dry!